brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A half hour to the close on Wall Street on this nail-biter of a day. The Dow fell more than 1,200 points after the opening bell. It is now down almost 1,100. Caleb Brune, chief economist at Morning Consult, says investors may still be spooked by Friday's disappointing job report, but she says the fundamentals of the economy remain strong.
We're definitely heading towards a cooler place, but if you look at really just those top-line statistics that measure where we are as an economy, the levels are not looking dangerous.
And she notes the stock market was recently at a record high. The United Nations says it's fired 9 members of its Agency for Palestinian Relief. An internal investigation found that they may have been involved in the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. What was Hurricane Debby's dumped a lot of rain on northern Florida. It's now a tropical storm, and it's pushing into Georgia and the Carolinas. This is ABC News. Elon Musk is suing OpenAI again.
This is the second lawsuit that Elon Musk has filed against the maker of ChatGPT. He alleges the two co-founders of OpenAI, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, breached the company's founding principles by putting profits ahead of creating artificial intelligence for the good of all humanity. Musk withdrew the earlier lawsuit back in June, just a day before a judge was set to rule on its dismissal. Musk was an early investor in OpenAI before leaving the company in 2018. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A federal judge ordered the Justice Department to return the horned coyote tail headdress worn by Jacob Chansley, a.k.a. the QAnon shaman, as he stormed the Capitol on January 6th. The helmet and the spear were confiscated from Chansley at his arrest. The judge noted that he's completed his prison term and much of his supervised release for his role in the Capitol riot, and the government has still not shown that it needs the items. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24 price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Nearly 150 healthcare workers from around Wisconsin are asking for the expansion of Badger Care. Dr. Bob Freeland says the expansion would allow more Wisconsinites to get service.
Expanding Badger Care is the right thing to do for our fellow Wisconsinites, and we call on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and others to end their opposition and help our neighbors get the health care they deserve.
Eligibility under an expanded Badger Care would rise from 100% of the federal poverty level to 138%. That's equivalent to a household income of $43,000 a year for a Wisconsin family of four. A new grant is reviving the universities of Wisconsin's Tuition Promise program in 2025.
Students whose families earn $55,000 or less will be able to attend one of 11 system schools without having to pay tuition or fees. The Tuition Promise is a last dollar program, meaning it pays for tuition and fees remaining after a student's financial aid is exhausted. The program was last funded in the fall of 2023, but a $5 million grant from the Ascendium Education Group is covering the costs. An estimated 1,300 students starting in fall 2025 are expected to qualify for the Tuition Promise. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The U.S. State Department advises Americans against traveling to Russia. UW-Madison political science professor Yoshiko Herrera would take it further. She says those there now should leave.
Every American in Russia is a potential hostage that the regime will use as a bargaining chip. I mean, there are some people that have family or have reasons for staying, so I don't want to judge people who are there, who are staying.
Herrera says the complicated negotiations leading to last week's release of U.S. and European hostages highlights the lengths that Vladimir Putin's regime will go to in using hostages as bargaining chips. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A dark day today with scattered showers this afternoon and rain ramping up this evening. Some embedded thunderstorms as well. We could see some turn severe alongside the potential for some flash flooding, which is why a flood watch has been issued through tomorrow morning. 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 68.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to AOA. Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse Allen, who's taking a couple of days off for some well-deserved vacation. So I'll be with you today and tomorrow. He'll be back for a little later in the week. Glad you've joined us. Hope you had a good weekend. We have a lot to talk about to kick off this week. We'll check weather in a little bit with John Baranek with DTN. Got a hurricane to talk about and lots of other things happening weather-wise. We're not very far away now. We can say later this month now. The Farm Progress Show will be held in Boone, Iowa. That's coming up the 27th, 8th, and 9th of this month. And we will talk about that with Matt Youngman, Farm Progress National Events Manager, a little bit later on to see how preparations are, kind of in the home stretch now to get ready for this year's Farm Progress Show. And also on today's program, we'll talk with Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report, see if there's anything happening on the farm bill. All that coming up here on today's program, but let's start it off with Darren Newsom, senior market analyst for Bar Chart. Darren, good to talk with you again. Well, this morning the headlines all about the stock market being way down and that R word, the recession word, being used quite a bit. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, good morning, Mike. It's quite a morning here for the U.S. stock indexes. You know, it's something I wrote about for Bar Chart over the weekend. When we saw, I like to look at the stock indexes through long-term monthly charts, and it was actually the NASDAQ that posted a bearish reversal on its monthly chart, not so much in the Dow, not so much in the S&P 500. But here over the last number of years, the NASDAQ has kind of been the leader. So, you know, the fact that we saw that at the end of August, at the end of July leading into early August, there isn't a huge surprise that we've got a bit of a vacuum built up in here in the stock indexes that gone basically straight up for the last number of months. Now, you ask about recession. It's kind of funny. We know that there has been a contingent here in the United States who have been squawking about recession for the last 3-4 years. I mean, anytime the stock index is closed lower, even when they weren't closing lower, it was always, oh, there's a recession. It goes back to the old idea, maybe we're going to have a recession. If so, it's just the old, you know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. So do I think we're heading into a recession? I'm not an economist. I don't know what the absolute definition of a recession is. I doubt it. Could we be? Yes. You know, we're going to have to see a change in the U.S. consumer, in the U.S. consumer market. We're going to have to see a change in the U.S. labor market. We're going to get to see some of these things that actually fit an economist definition of recession. But to me, it's a word that folks like to throw around to create panic and to create havoc. Do we have a down day in U.S. stock indexes? Yes. Could we have a down month? Absolutely. Does it change the overall picture? Not yet.
Well, it seems like for quite a while, the market's kind of overperformed. A lot of people didn't understand or couldn't quite figure out why it was doing as well as it was. Is this just maybe some sort of correction to all that, you think?
Yeah, it's possible. Again, you know, this looks to be a bit of a vacuum market. I mean, what I mean by that is it's just, you know, it's run out of new money coming into the market. It's reached levels where it's burned up all of the investment money, at least for right now, that's coming in. And I think really what kind of jolted things late last week and early this morning, early Monday morning, was the fact, you know, we're reading about how Berkshire Hathaway dumped, over half of its position in Apple. All right, so you start getting headlines like that. And it's going to create some follow-through. It's going to create, you know, kind of a ripple effect throughout folks who aren't quite as large, as investment groups who aren't quite as large as Berkshire, and they're going to start dumping and bailing out as well. You know, then we're going to get to the talk, okay, now, you know, are we going to see a 20% retracement? Are we going to lose 20% of value, which all of a sudden is this, you know, this bearish line that, you know, the markets may cross and so on. We'll see when we get there. You know, we've seen this sort of thing before over the last number of years, and then, oddly enough, investment money comes storming right back. I think there's a lot of uncertainty here in the United States and globally, not just economically, but politically, as we start to look at that, as we start to, you know, get closer to that sort of situation. So, yeah, I think there's and we know, you know, from watching these markets over the decades, investors don't like uncertainty. And so the more volatility, the more uncertainty gets ramped up, the higher the volatility goes, and the more likely is you're going to start seeing some cashing out. And that could be where we are today.
We're talking with Darren Newsome, Senior Market Analyst for Bar Chart. Unfortunately, Darren, those in the ag world are already used to down markets, right? I've been dealing with this quite a bit. Here we are now into August. Do you see anything changing dramatically one way or the other with our ag markets?
No, I don't. And in fact, what really got my attention last week was the fact that from Friday to Friday, we saw future spreads in both corn and soybeans. The amount of calculated full commercial carry, these spreads in the new crop markets were covering increased. And so, I mean, folks are going to want to look at NASA's made up numbers this afternoon. They're going to want to, you know, think ahead to USDA and all of that nonsense. But what we have right in front of us every day, right now, early Monday morning, is the fact we can see the commercial traders grew more comfortable with 2024 production in both U.S. corn and soybeans this coming harvest. And so no one's going to want to pay attention to that because it's not as much fun as talking about USDA and NASA and all these things. But, I mean, the bottom line is we can see with the way the spreads were acting, the commercial side getting more comfortable. And as long, you know, if we're starting to get more comfortable with production and all that, it's going to be very difficult to turn these markets around because funds don't have any reason to cover their net short futures position. So, you know, until that changes, you know, it's just going to be difficult to spark a large rally in these markets.
Yeah, we're still in that guessing game of how big will the crop be. It won't be long, though. We're now getting pretty close to finding out for sure. And what's your feeling on where we're at with this production?
Well, we'll never know. And the point is, the bottom line is, it's irrelevant. You know, the numbers don't matter. The yield numbers don't matter. It doesn't matter if it's 170 or 190. It doesn't matter if we produce 15 billion bushels or 17 billion bushels of corn. It all is completely irrelevant. What matters is, what does the commercial side of the market believe? Are they bullish, bearish, or neutral? Right now, they're neutral, but growing, they're edging towards the bearish, edging towards a more bearish view. And that's all that matters. Does it tell us what yield is going to be? Does it tell us what production is going to be? No, and we don't need to know. It doesn't matter. What matters is the overall supply and demand situation, and that's what's growing less bullish, slightly more bearish as each week goes by.
That's a good point. We'll never know. It seems the figures get moved around anyway, even after the harvest is well over. And as you said, it's this perception and the supply-demand situation, a lot of factors there. A lot of times we get focused maybe too much on the wrong thing. Darren, good to talk with you. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Mike. Good to visit with you.
All right. You take care. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst for Bar Chart. Well, a lot going on with the weather. You have fires in California, have a hurricane in Florida. What about the middle part of the country as we head into the August heat? We'll talk about that with John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. That's coming up next. You're listening to AOA.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse today and tomorrow. He'll be back with you on Wednesday. Good to have you with us here on AOA. Let's talk weather now with John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How have you been?
Good, good. Good to talk with you. Well, let's see. We have fires in California. We have a hurricane in Florida and plenty of hot weather in the middle. So we got plenty to talk about. Let's start with the hurricane. What's happening down in Florida?
Yeah, Mike, you're not kidding. We got lots of weather going on this week. As far as the hurricane is concerned, it made landfall here in the Big Bend area of Florida early this morning. It's a Category 1, so not super strong, but, I mean, you look at the presentation on radar, and you can see just all the heavy rain swirling around that center there through northern Florida, actually through a lot of Florida, a lot of bands going through Florida, but then the really socking heavy rain going through southern Georgia at the moment. This storm system is going to be a very slow mover through the southeast this week, and there's a lot of uncertainty in exactly where it's going to track since it's moving so slow. Little small changes could mean something big, too, because as it crosses into southern Georgia here tonight, it could go offshore again into the Atlantic just off the coast of South Carolina and could reform into a hurricane. Even if it doesn't, it should still be a fairly strong tropical storm as it moves up through the Carolinas later this week and then into North Carolina, Virginia, Friday into Saturday. Timings might be a little bit different on that, but it's going to stick around all week long. And so we're going to see a lot of heavy rain down there in those states. We're looking at, you know, 10 to maybe 20 inches of rain in some areas. I'm sure there's going to be some spots in there that get more than 20 inches. So it's a lot of heavy flooding rain down there. And, you know, after the drought they sustained back in June and, you know, a return to some better conditions in July, all of a sudden here we're going to flood out some of these spots here in early August.
Yeah, one extreme to another. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the Midwest. Plenty of August heat building in parts of the Midwest.
That's right. So I'm across the South. I mean, we've been dealing with triple-digit heat here across the Central and Southern Plains for the last couple of weeks, at least a week, and, you know, lots of 90s elsewhere. But we are getting a front to drop to the South across the Northern Plains and in the Great Lakes here for today. That will slowly make its way southward here tomorrow and into Wednesday. Largely stalled out, though, from Kansas to the Ohio Valley. Areas north of that are going to be definitely cooler. We're going to see temperatures below normal. A lot of 70s for highs and some low 80s, which is great. South of that, it's still going to be just blasted hot. I mean, Texas is going to be triple-digit heat all week long, even towards the Gulf Coast, away from the hurricane. It'll be in the upper 90s and lower 100s there for the Southern Delta region, maybe even into Alabama. So it's just going to be just crazy hot down there the next few days. We do get another reinforcing cold front to move through the northern plains here today or tomorrow and Wednesday, and it'll slowly make its way through much of the Corn Belt here through the end of the week. Whether or not that gets far enough south to kind of alleviate that heat across the South, not quite sure. There's been some pretty significant differences between a couple of the models. The European model keeps that cooler temperatures kind of more towards the Ohio Valley and Central Plains northward, whereas the American GFS model does bring in some relief down into the South. It'll be hard to say that it gets all the way down there, and actually some of that depends on how where this hurricane tracks. If it stays a little bit back further west, it could interact with that front and pull some of that cooler air southward. If not, then the cooler air may get stuck up in the Corn Belt. But for the Corn Belt, it's looking great in terms of getting some relief to some of that stress. There's had a whole lot of that recently, and looks like we're going to get some relief.
Always tricky on how those storms are going to track. We're talking with DTM meteorologist John Baranek. So, John, as we look at this week ahead, what parts of the Midwest most likely to get some rainfall?
And that's the biggest question to me. You know, with a couple of stronger fronts moving in, you'd expect a lot of precipitation with it, especially with the heat across the South. That huge gradient in temperatures is a really good spot to spark showers and thunderstorms. The models don't really have a whole lot of it. I'm not sure if it's because a lot of it's being soaked up by the hurricane and the moisture there, or just the dynamics just aren't right for it. But, you know, we're going with this front here early on this week. We've got some scattered showers and thunderstorms across the Dakotas and Minnesota here this morning. That moves mostly to the east-southeast through Michigan. Doesn't get through a whole lot of the rest of the Corn Belt with that front. The second front that's out there, kind of the low pressure that it's developing in Alberta right now. But that produces some pretty good rainfall there, again, in the northern plains and the upper Midwest. And then as that front leaks farther south, it kind of poofs out. We don't see a whole lot of rainfall there, especially from Iowa through Indiana. Not a whole lot there. It if that front gets hung up in the Central Plains, like the European model is suggesting, we probably get some more rainfall to occur along that front into the weekend. But, you know, it's the eastern Corn Belt that really doesn't get a whole lot of rain this week. Fortunately, they got some pretty good rainfall amounts last week, so that'll help. And, you know, the reduction in temperatures will help with the stress overall. But, you know, this is August, and we need the rainfall for those filling soybeans. And, you know, there's going to be some spots in here that just go without this week, and that's going to be unfortunate.
Yeah, here in west central Illinois, we had good rains last week, so we're in pretty good shape mm-hmm. as we're here in early August. But it is a key month, certainly. How would you describe this summer weather-wise? Is it typical of what you were expecting, considering the predominant weather system we're dealing with, or what has surprised you so far this summer?
It hasn't surprised me, but this is what I was kind of hoping for. I mean, we haven't had really long stretches of heat and dryness that have really burnt out a lot of the crop. I mean, if you look at the drought monitor throughout the Corn Belt, there's hardly anything in there. You know, it's been a little too wet in the upper Midwest and the northern plains, and that's been a little bit of a concern. And that's been a little bit, you know, we weren't really expecting, you know, that to happen. But we were hopeful that we weren't going to get these long stretches of hot and dry weather in anywhere for too long. We were kind of hoping that because we didn't have a big climate driver in the Pacific Ocean, we've been in neutral conditions here all summer, that it would, you know, lead to just moving ridges and storm systems and variable weather. And that's kind of happened. So I've been very happy with that. I think most of our producers around the country are pretty happy with that. Now, obviously, there's been some spots that have been, you know, not that great, and, you know, kind of Texas and western Kansas have been into more of the heat and less of the rainfall recently. But, you know, this is a time of year where they don't get a whole lot of rain anyway. You know, one of the things that we've been waiting for, and it looks like with Debbie now it is that the tropical season should be starting up pretty significantly here. We're getting one storm system here this week, obviously, and we'll be looking at a few more too. And that's really what we have been expecting is a little bit more active tropical season. We haven't reached that quite yet, but, you know, August, September, October, those are the peak months there for tropical systems, and it looks like we're starting off-peak season with a pretty big storm here.
So we'll be keeping a close eye on it, especially those areas counting on good weather in August to help finish out that bean crop. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, what's going on in South America?
Yeah, so, you know, we're in August. We're about a month away from the start of planting season down there for corn and soybeans. And, you know, as you look throughout kind of the region, and really, you know, Argentina and Brazil, what we're most concerned about. Argentina's been very dry over their winter, our summer, their winter. And a lot of areas down there just don't have the soil moisture. And it's started to hurt their wheat crop, their winter wheat crop, but it doesn't set them up with good soil moisture for planting when they start up next month. And so, you know, they're going to be looking at or hoping for some systems to be rolling through with some good rainfall. They have a system moving through this week, but it's scattered precipitation, nothing overly heavy for too many areas. So they're going to be hopeful for some better rainfall coming through. Brazil is kind of opposite. So southern Brazil has been pretty good. They've had some decent rains. They've had flooding about 3 months ago. They had some major flooding in far southern Brazil. But they're going to have some additional, you know, periods moving through, which is going to be setting them up pretty well. And then they just wait for the dry season to end and the wet season to start there in central Brazil. Not sure if it's going to start on time or not. Usually with a developing La Nina, it's a little bit late, and that's what our forecast is. But La Nina's been very slow to develop here this summer. We've been kind of expecting it to be here already, and it just hasn't. While that led to some pretty good conditions up here for the most part in the Corn Belt, you know, it's concerning for South America down there. And we'll be waiting to see whether or not those rains coming on time or not, because they're going to be able to start planting here in about a month, and they might do it in pretty dry soil.
All right, John, good to talk with you again. Thanks for giving us the update. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to talk with you too, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. DTM meteorologist John Baranek. Well, how do crops look in Boone, Iowa? And how are preparations going for this year's Farm Progress Show coming up later this month? We'll find out next right here on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Grain markets wrapping up higher amid heavy pressure in outside markets in livestock. You're listening to the American Ag Network of Jesse Allen with this market update. Well, while it has been a very tough day in the outside markets with the Dow Jones back down almost 1,000 points once again, the yield on 10-year T-notes down 3.81%, the dollar index down 117, gold down sharply, crude oil down sharply, livestock as well down sharply. Grain trade has fared pretty good on the day Friday, surprisingly. Some double-digit gains still holding in new crop soybeans, moderate gains in corn and in wheat futures here today. Grains are higher with funds possibly liquidating some of their large net short positions here on the day. Cooler temperatures expected to reach Iowa by Tuesday as well. Crop prospects still do look good, but overall it just feels like some fund money moving around here, and it's positive for the grain trade today. We did get a new crop soybean sale to China this morning, 202,000 metric tons for the 24-25 marketing year as well. So overall, we'll take a positive day in the grains amid all of the pressure elsewhere. The Dow Jones right now down 923 points, 39,591. You're listening to the American Ag Network. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a look at DTN's cash indexes here on Friday for corn, beans, and wheat. The corn index down 3 cents at 372. The soybean cash index down 7 cents at 993. Chicago wheat index 9 cents higher, 477. The KC wheat cash index up 4 cents at 504. And the spring wheat index down 8 cents at 524. That is the DTN cash indexes here on Friday. Crude oil down right now, 310 a barrel, 73.21. This is the American Ag Network.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in today and tomorrow for Jesse Allen, who's taking some vacation time, and he'll be back with you on Wednesday. Meanwhile, now that the calendar has turned to August, we can say later this month the Farm Progress Show will be held, and it's going to be in Boone, Iowa this year, the 27th, 28th, and 29th, so just around the corner. Joining us now with an update is Farm Progress National Events Manager Matt Youngman. Matt, good to talk with you again. How are you?
Mike, good to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Very good. Planning on coming to the Farm Progress Show. I'm going to come visit you.
That's what I hear. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person. That's just fantastic.
It'll be like old times. What will we see? How do crops look around Boone, Iowa?
Crops look really good. They had there was a window in, you know, around the 8th, 9th, 10th through the 12th, 13th of April, and got a lot of crop work done, got all the field demonstration corn in the ground by April 12th. So we're in really, really good shape for maturity. I just had a picture texted to me over the weekend of some of the field demo corn, and it's fully dented and appears to be about black layer, which is exactly where we want it. We want it to black layer this week so that we've got 2 weeks for it to dry down, and we should, you know, assuming we get decent weather during the show, we're going to have no problem having a full rack of field demonstrations full of new products that are being unveiled at the show or have been unveiled over the course of the past year, but nobody's seen operate in person. The new F7 combine from John Deere and the new 800 plus horsepower four-wheel drive, as well as the 260 series combine from Case IH, and a lot of other product introductions that are going to be operating there for the crowd.
Well, I know that's a big sigh of relief for you. I mean, you still obviously need good weather during the show itself, but to have the crops where they're at right now, that's a big relief because, as you said, you can plan on having full field demonstrations and everything green-lighted, ready to go.
Exactly right. I mean, you've ridden that out with us in the past when we've maybe not gotten the crop in the ground when we wanted to, or we've had a cool summer and we're, you know, nervous about it and tracking it and concerned about it. But this year, you know, the way the, you know, getting that text on a Friday night at 11 o'clock saying that all the crops were in the ground, and then we had, you know, several weeks, we've been getting plenty of heat. Obviously, some parts of Iowa getting more than enough moisture. We are not in that boat where we've had too much, but the forecast is shaping up now as the tents are going in the air. One more day of really hot weather, and then it's going to straighten out, and we're going to have a real nice week here for setup and getting tents going. I was just out to the show site last week, and everything is coming together really, really well. Rick Wild's on site. He has it under control and making it happen. The planning stage is over, and now we are working on implementing it and making it happen.
Well, obviously, you can still have the show if it's raining, especially with the grounds the way they are now. But such a big part of the show and what a lot of people look forward to is being able to go out in the fields and watching the equipment run. So hopefully the weather will cooperate. And you keep expanding. You're doing more and more out in the fields every year.
Yeah, and you know, it's more than because so much of this technology is more than what you can just stand and watch go past you, like we do with the harvest demonstration and the tillage demonstration. A lot of it, when you're talking about autonomy or you're talking about smart sprayers or some of these kinds of things, you really have to get in the cab and experience it to fully understand and be educated enough to begin kind of putting it on your list of things to further research. So you have to give these folks a little bit of a driving range or set up something so that they're able to show off the machinery, or give them a flight range if we're talking about sprayer drones. You know, one of the things that we use some of that ground for, we end up taking about half of those acres off before the show ever opens just to create the ride and drive zone, the autonomy zone, and these kinds of things. I don't think we've ever had a year with as many side-by-side ride and drives. If somebody's got side-by-sides in their near-term plans, you know, you're going to be able to run the new John Deere Gator, the new Polaris Ranger, the brand new Kawasaki Ridge, the new RTV from Kubota. Everybody, you know, most of the big players there all are exhibiting, obviously, and then also running a ride and drive opportunity. So great shopping opportunity if that's on your bucket list.
We're talking with Matt Youngman, Farm Progress National Events Manager, the Farm Progress Show coming up this month, 27th, 28th, and 29th in Boone, Iowa. So it's amazing how quickly that exhibit field comes together, especially with the permanent sites now. So kind of give us an idea of what it looks like this week and how it will progress right up to showtime.
Now we're in that phase, you know, we're 3 weeks and a day from opening day, and it just feels like the activity on the ground doubles every day. You know, there's more, there's trucks coming in, there's equipment starting to be delivered, a lot of tents are already in the air. The electricians, the landscapers, they're all working at full speed. Soon we'll start moving in the pressure washers. The internet vendor is getting to work on doing the infrastructure. So, you know, setup officially starts a week from today. But right now, all of the folks that put in the backbone things like tents and internet and electricity, they're all doing their work so that when exhibitor setup technically starts next week, where they are ready to go. And you know, Rick has the exhibit field staked out, and we're just tracking, you know, when are we going to cut the hay, the last cutting of hay for the parking lot? When are we going to get in and start tuning up combines? Hopefully somewhere around media day, a week before the show, we're going to be able to roll combines and get everything moving there. There's lots and lots of new things that are coming to the show site, and in terms of things exhibitors are bringing and things that we're doing. So a whole lot of activating things we've been planning for over a year.
You know, I know they don't use as much of it as they used to, but to this day, when I smell mulch, I think of the Farm Progress Show. That's from all those years of walking around on it, you know.
You smell, and I have a similar reaction when I smell tents being unfolded. Those have a very specific scent, and so, you know, tents and wood chips, it takes me back to some good days and some bad days, but it certainly takes me back through our history of working on these things.
Yeah. Well, you've touched on some of it, but some of the new technology, some of the new products that'll be unveiled. What can you tell us?
Well, there's a whole lot of them, and some of them I can talk about, some of them I can't. You know, we're going to have a whole lot of things, a lot of help from our exhibitors with new things they're bringing. We're going to have connectivity on the site like we've never had before. We're going to have a blanket of Wi-Fi on the show site provided by John Deere. And so when you're there, you should be able to even make phone calls, do Wi-Fi calling on your phones. And, you know, so that is a big, big upgrade. We've got a new emphasis on women in the field, women in agriculture, and that's sponsored by Case IH. So there's content on their stage as well as on our stage about specific to women in agriculture. We've got a kind of a cool partnership going with the John Wayne Foundation, working on education about skin cancer. There's a Farm Bill listening session on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And then a new addition is America's Wall of Honor, which is 7 giant stainless steel badges of the emblems of all of the branches of military service, EMS, police, and the presidential seal. That takes up, you know, you speak in lots kind of like I do, but a 4-lot exhibit honoring all of those different branches of the military as well as others who deserve it. And you remember in 2022, we got the soybean asphalt inside the Berry Industries tent. That's getting a facelift. We're getting 4 more inches of that soybean asphalt placed on there to firm that up and make it a little more permanent. And so we're really, really excited about that environment, because in early April, we sold out the Berry Industries tent. That 600-foot-long tent sold out, and we've had to add a completely separate additional Berry Industries tent, another 250-foot-long tent, just to house the additional exhibitors coming to the show, and even that one is sold out now. I placed the last one late last week. So, you know, the exhibitors, despite commodity prices, are coming out in droves and really putting their best foot forward.
Well, it's an election year, and I know you have mixed feelings about that when it comes to your show. Are you hearing anything from candidates?
Nothing on the national level. You know, I think there will be some fairly high level folks involved in that Farm Bill listening session. And then, you know, there'll be a whole lot of state level folks, but, I think we may, you know, is it great to have the president of the show? Sure. I mean, that's good, I guess, but it, it doesn't sound like we're going to have any of those kind of obstacles, because from a, you know, a purely selfish operational standpoint, that adds a lot of wrinkles to things that we don't necessarily need. So we're just fine if we're able to just have a farm show without any of that.
What can you tell us about traffic patterns and tickets?
So farmprogressshow.com is where you'd want to go to buy your advance tickets at a discount. You can also book hotel rooms there and search the map and kind of plan your day for the things that you want to see. The traffic routes, we're really excited about having an entirely new route in from the north. In the past, there was an at-grade railroad crossing that hindered us from bringing traffic in from the north. Now the Iowa DOT has put in an overpass, so we can safely get over that rail line. So we can bring all of our Minnesota, northern Iowa visitors in, bring them down 35 to Highway 20 and slide over to Highway 17 and come in from the north without ever having to go down to Ames or get on Highway 30 or get on that at all, which is good for them, but it also is going to, for everybody else coming to the show, it ought to reduce the congestion right there at Highway 30 and 17 to make it real easy to get in. So really excited about having that available to us. The traffic just gets better and better and better every year, and that's one of those side benefits of the permanent site, is we can really nail the traffic route because we keep going back and fixing it every time.
Matt, I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Look forward to it. August 27th, 28th, and 29th, Farm Progress Show, Boone, Iowa. That's Matt Youngman, Farm Progress National Events Manager. Coming up next, stay with us. We'll wrap it up with Jerry Hagstrom. What's he hearing on the Farm Bill? Anything happening at all? We'll find out next on AOA.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse today and again tomorrow. You know, listening to that interview, listening to that conversation with Matt Youngman, I don't know if you've been to Farm Progress shows in the past. You know, it's almost impossible to get a cell signal and call out of there. Sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't. So to have greater connectivity, as he said, and be able to make those calls, hey, that's going to be much appreciated by a lot of folks. I know a lot of people in the ag media that will be there will be very happy to hear that as well. Well, we'd be very happy to hear about some progress on a farm bill, but we haven't heard much of that for quite some time. Let's check in with Jerry Hagstrom at the Hagstrom Report. Jerry, good to talk with you again. Are you hearing anything? Anything going on the farm bill?
Well, I can tell you that, of course, the big news is that there was a Congressional Budget Office score released on Friday. But the problem was that it says it's $33 billion over budget. And that means that there's no way to pay for it. So Chairman Thompson on the House Ag Committee just says we have to do more work with CBO and the Budget Committee, while the Democrats are saying, well, this just shows your approach isn't working. You need to compromise with us. So that's where we're at. You could say it's progress because we got a CBO score, but it doesn't look like much is going to happen anytime soon.
So what's your prediction? We keep going with what we have for quite a while yet?
I think we're going to end up with an extension. Now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm actually at the American Sugar Alliance meeting in Seattle. And last night, Congressman Rick Larson, the Democrat from Washington State, said the Ag Committee needs to compromise like the Transportation Committee has done. And you know, and the Transportation Committee, of course, has put out a lot of money. You can see it everywhere in the country. There's construction going on the roads, et cetera. And usually we talk about the Ag Committee being bipartisan, but it isn't that way this year.
I understand the need to watch the numbers. I wish all areas of government would do that. But obviously they're not. We're in a huge deficit and we keep adding to it. But it seems like we hear it a lot when it comes to putting together a farm bill.
Yes, we do. And part of the reason is, of course, that you have some very conservative Republicans who are focused so much on the budget. and they're they would be unwilling to vote for deficit spending. But here I'm hearing rumors of a possible deal to put some farm programs in a supplemental bill, a supplemental appropriations bill, and those bills are not, they don't have the same requirements for being within the budget. So it's possible something like that could happen this fall, but I wouldn't count on it.
You know, we've seen a familiar pattern with this. Farm bills in the past start off with optimism that they're going to get done early, even though most of us didn't think that would ever happen. And then you get down to the deadline, you think it'll get done, then you wind up getting extended. And but this is kind of unprecedented, right? To go this long and to still, I mean, you just described where we're at right now. We're pretty late in this ball game. We're into extra innings, and still at this point, it sounds like it's really not where anybody feels it's urgent enough to get it done right now.
Well, that's right. I'd have to say commodity prices are down, but they're not down that much. If you talk to the bankers, they will still say, we really don't see any pressure on loans, repayments, et cetera, until next year. And so we don't have that intense pressure. Now, I think the other issue really is how closely held the House and the Senate are and how close the presidential election looks. Both parties think that they can win. And under those circumstances, they're being very cautious. They don't want to do anything that would hurt their chances. And so I think it is possible you could see something in the lame duck session, but there's certainly, I don't think there's going to be anything in September when Congress is only going to be back for 3 weeks and maybe not that long.
Hard to imagine. And you just laid out that scenario, and I was thinking the same thing. Given the political climate and going into the presidential election, it's hard to imagine anything significant like getting the farm bill done gets done this year.
We'll be lucky if they get some appropriations bills passed, or even the bill that they need to fund the government after September 30th until some future date at current levels. That's the most important thing in September, because we certainly don't want a government shutdown. That really causes chaos.
We know SNAP is a big part of it and usually one of the most contentious areas. Are they to some sort of agreement on that part of it?
Absolutely not. That is the biggest issue, is that the Republicans want to avoid future increases that are based on what people are eating as opposed to inflation. They agree if there's inflation, you can raise the SNAP benefit for that. But the Democrats want to keep on thinking about, well, should people be eating healthier food? If they need to eat healthier food, do the SNAP beneficiaries need higher benefits for that? That's what they got out of this thrifty food plan rewrite. And they want more of those in the future. And the Republicans are saying absolutely not. And that is the biggest issue in the farm bill.
So we'll continue to wait. Depending on the congressional makeup going into next year, it may not be a lot any easier at all next year.
No, it may not be. Now, I think the best bet for doing a bill this year is if after the election, either the Democrats or the Republicans or both decide they want to compromise, especially while Debbie Stabenow is still the chair of the Senate Ag Committee. She's retiring at the end of this Congress, and she has been a very, very effective leader. Some people would say a great leader. She's a great negotiator, and people might still want her input, her abilities as they do this bill.
All right, Jerry, good to talk with you. I wish we had better news on the farm bill, but thanks for bringing us up to date. Good to talk with you.
All right. I wish I had better news, too.
Take care. Jerry, bye. You bet. Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Frustrating. Still nothing really. No progress, it doesn't seem, on the farm bill. Well, we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Hope you'll join us here on AOA.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the DQ $7 bacon cheeseburger meal deal. Not just a cheeseburger, a bacon cheeseburger. Plus fries, drink, and a sundae. All full-sized, all for $7. Because everything's better with bacon. Everything's also better with a side of fries, a refreshing drink, and a sundae to finish. Yum. The $7 bacon cheeseburger meal deal. Now for a limited time on the $7 meal deal lineup. DQ. Happy tastes good.
This is the famous footwear that makes us